It's so nice to be with you here this afternoon. And my brief remarks will be probably to kind of pick up the threads in symbolism here and take you on a little brief trip in looking at some of the biblical metaphors of what the Holy Spirit does. If you have your scriptures, please open up to Numbers chapter 15. My few remarks are called the Blue Hem. If you were God, would you dress Israel? Would you dress, if you're a pastor, would you like to dress your congregation, tell them how to dress? Well, God actually addressed his people, and let's see if there might be some symbolism here regarding that we can even connect to the Holy Spirit. In Numbers chapter 15, and we're starting here in verse 37, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon them the borders a ribbon of blue." There's our blue. "And it shall be upon a fringe that when you look and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which after before you were going whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments." And then beautiful verse 41, "For I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And so within a beautiful setting of salvation, God dressed them. He spoke this to the Israelites, and those of the Israelites not in Egypt, but those of Israelites that had been freed from Egypt. God had broken their bonds, as it were. And then he said, "I want you to dress a certain way." And it's interesting in there that he said, "I'd like to have you dress it." Now, he could have put a hat on them, or maybe, like we know, the beautiful Jewish star. No. Border. And Deuteronomy 22 says it's in four places, at each corner. And you scholars and biblical scholars in the Old Testament have done much more research than I have in here. You can know how that how it hung. And if you look down, you know, I like to tell my students, you need a stepladder to understand this. So you climb up on a stepladder and look down on the Jewish person and the Israelite. And there they were with those four fringes there and around. And it kind of looks like that as you look down, it's almost like a circle all the way around. I kind of like to call it a blue hem. Now, there were just those, you know, the four tzitzits and so forth there. But as you look around, why did God put those there? And remember, he tied it in with the idea of looking at them and remembering the commandments of God, not only remembering them, but to do them. And you wonder why it was down there. You think it might have been down there because it was by the feet. Is that all right? By the feet? And if it was all around, perhaps they were all to be surrounded by that wonderful will of Jesus all the way around. And so all Israelites were to be surrounded by that. Now, it's very interesting that Ellen White writes in Spirit of Prophecy, not Spiritual Gifts, that's not the great concept. This is the actual one, you know, the four volumes, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, page 74. She's building, as I see it, on the language which says, when you look at it and remember all the commandments. I think she's building on that, and because she says, true enough, God asked them to put these borders there and the ribbon of blue. And then she says, upon which the commandments, in brief, were embroidered. Interesting. There they were. I wonder what the commandments, in brief, might mean. Could that mean all 10 of them, perhaps? Or could it mean the divisions of the law, to love God and to love the brothers and sisters? In any case, it means that. So isn't that beautiful that God, if this is indeed what God intended, that there could be a circle around us. And as we walk along, John Baldwin is to keep my steps within the circle of God's will. In other words, I'm not supposed to step outside. Now, in other words, here could it be that every Israelite was to be a blue hammer? And God wanted all his children to be blue hammers. And the neat thing was that, oh, here comes an Israelite. Here comes a blue hammer. Maybe Samson was a blue hammer. And he went off. But were his steps inside? What drives the feet? What drives the feet? See, the feet can be a symbolism for how my mind works, and above all, our motives. And above all, this is the kind of thing, what drives my tongue, my speech in the morning when I talk with Sylvia? And, oh my, what drives my eyes? The question of the TV, the internet. What drives our thoughts? God is potentially being so profound here, anthropologically and salvifically, also with the Holy Spirit. Now, it says, beautiful right there, that you will not walk after your own heart. Isn't that a philosophical, theological message to me? Here comes the illustration. That will of God, to love God, God, I love you, and neighbor, I love you, was to be beaming out everywhere. And wherever I went, if somebody came in, the first thing they would run into would be your love for them, based on your love for God, based on your prior love for Jesus because he had saved you. All of our ethics has to be done within context of the sealing work, don't you think? All within that context. And now the question is, for me, the will of God is so extensive. It's not just Ten Commandments. It's this wonderful Bible, and then is the subjective guidance of the Holy Spirit. How in the world can this will affect my heart? In other words, here's this blue ham hanging outside the foot. If I had a shoe, I'd take my shoe off and hold my shoe. This is my hand is my shoe. Here is this Bible hanging out there, as it were. Here's the blue, and here's the will of God. Love God and love your neighbor, hanging out there. It's outside my foot. But my foot is supposed to go according to this outside law, outside will of God. How do you get the two put together? And that is where, as all of us pastors and Seventh-day Adventists know, so familiar, is that beautiful passage, of course, in Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my passage, in my ways. That's why I like that one in Micah. You might want to write that down. We don't have time to go to Micah chapter 4, verse 2. Many nations will say in that day, let us go up to Jerusalem and let us hear the word of God. For there he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his pathways. Very interesting. We want to hear the word of God, but the Holy Spirit is the way, the transfer from the outside. There's a book called The Experience of Grace, and in there John Haight says, what I think this illustrates, there's no connection between this law and my foot, or my mind, my thoughts, my eyes. Human being is ordained to an end that transcends this being. I mean, that's very powerful. And that is illustrated way back there in that little blue hem. How much I need to ask. I love the emphasis on Luke 11:35. Those that to ask, the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit, it seems, knocks unbidden on our hearts. But he does not come in unbidden. Think about that. I think about that myself. Every time I have failed, it's because I have failed to ask of the Holy Spirit. Like Psalm 50:15 says, in the time of trouble, call upon me and I will deliver you and you'll glorify me. Think about the next time you come to your mouth going to be saying things that it shouldn't say. Ask or respond to the knocking of the Holy Spirit to ask for the Holy Spirit. Think about that. I know it's my experience. Every time I have asked, God has answered. And it's interesting that, praise God, that when we do ask, and I think that could be an encouragement to our church members, then he will speak and guide us in his paths. And the neat thing about it is that his paths go toward opening the eyes of the blind, setting the prisoner free and doing all these fantastic things, exactly working out the beauty of Jesus. And as I have, every time I come to the ATS meetings, it's such an encouragement to my soul as I rub shoulders with you. Why? And I say this sincerely and honestly. I see blue hammers. You're all blue hammers. Thank you. And I think I could go and just talk about each one of you. And I remember I had just lunch today with another blue hammer, a friend of all of us, and that's Sigurowski. He's been listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been leading him to set some prisoners free. He has been teaching. And he says that, I think it is, I don't know, Sig, I've forgotten, the Holy Spirit's work in your life has led to, what is it, 4 or 5 baptisms this year in just your Bible studies. And that this coming Thanksgiving, one of his Bible students is going to be baptized. And to me, that is so encouraging that... Sig, we thank God for you being a blue hammer. And I want to thank God for each of you in the way that you are radiating God in the love of Jesus in such beautiful ways. Just think about it. Without your expression of the love of God, the image of God will be... there's a subtraction. No leaf is the same, but all the leaves are different. Therefore, Jesus through you is going to be a little different. And it's beautiful how your reflection of Jesus, the value of that. So I really want to thank all of you and thank Sig for that beautiful illustration of how God is helping him to reflect that blue hem. So that is the end of the little blue hem thought.
I just personally want to say, John, that I appreciate this last part of your thoughts, because it reminds me that one of the goals of my preaching ministry or teaching ministry should be the conversion of souls.
Amen. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that doesn't happen out of my own power and my own strength and my own energy. That comes because of my life walking within that blue hem quality of the Holy Spirit flowing out of me, but mm-hmm. but also sensing that the individuals that I engage, you know, in the classroom, yes, or wherever, yes, it might be,
exactly,
need this Jesus in their life.